said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." This afternoon, we are very glad to have Reverend Wan to share with us God's Word. Sermon title is God in Human Failure. Reverend Wan, please.
Thank you, Brother Timothy. Good afternoon, church. Always good to be back. The passage we just read today, oh, by the way, I was supposed to be here on the first Sunday, but I had to be in New York, so I am so thankful for Pastor to exchange somehow. So thank you. The passage we read today is actually about the Last Supper. And so at the Last Supper, these events took place. And today we will look at the notion that God is with us even in human failure. And human failure is a very common experience for all of us. We are sinful, we fail. Sometimes we regret our failure, sometimes we feel sorry. Sometimes we try to justify our failure. But whatever it is, when something fails, whether we fail or somebody fails us, or we fail somebody, there are consequences. And sometimes we are affected by those consequences because of human failure. And we ask God, why? And sometimes when it affects us, we ask God, why me? I hope this passage will help us answer some of those questions. So the key events here, as you can see the story, I'll just simply highlight the fact that Jesus was troubled at this time, at the Last Supper. He was troubled because he feels deep emotional pain, because he knew that one of his disciples was going to betray him. Second, Jesus then warned the other disciples and also, in a way, gave that particular disciple who was about to betray him a chance to know that the Lord Jesus knew and that perhaps he might want to think about it. Then the disciples began to wonder. They were all taken by surprise. They were shocked because they were together for almost, 3 years? And now somebody, after 3 years, going to betray Jesus, they were shocked. They were under all kinds of pressure by the Romans, by the Jewish leaders, but never did they ever think that one of their own friends, fellow disciples, would betray Jesus. You can imagine the shock. And they were confused and they began to ask, who is this? And Peter asked for the identity of the betrayal. And Jesus said, the person who gets this dip morsel of bread will be the one who will betray me. And of course, he looked at Judas, gave the bread and said to Judas, you need to do it. Go do it quickly. And Satan enters into Judas. There are three sets of characters, obviously. The first is Jesus himself, and then Judas, and then the other disciples. So with these three sets of people, I'm going to talk about 3 points. the famous 3.7. The first is the pain of God. The second is the power of God. And third is the purpose of God. See, I don't have slides, but I hope that by putting them in alliteration, it'll be easy for you to remember. The pain of God, the power of God, the purpose of God. All the three P's. The pain of God. You see, Jesus was troubled in spirit. He says in verse 21, Jesus is God. That's the Christian belief. In fact, if Jesus is not God, we do not have Christianity. He would then have been one of the false prophets, or one of those prophets that, and there were many even in Jesus' time. And there wouldn't be a church today. Because Jesus was believed to be God, and Jesus was believed to have resurrected from the dead, because disciples, many of them, according to Paul, many of them have seen Jesus in his resurrected form. And because it was such a strong belief, and Christians in the early church more than 2,000 years ago were persecuted for that belief. And that belief is a testimony to the fact that Jesus is not a human being, just a human being. He came as a human being, but he was God incarnate. And so this Jesus felt the pain. That means God felt the pain. The humanity of Jesus also reflects the feeling of God. God is capable of feeling pain. Our God that we believe in is not a detached God without any feeling. Not some image that we create to worship. Not a projection of our own mind or a projection of someone we need. It is actually God seeing our needs and coming to us in the incarnation, which is celebrated at Christmas. This God has a feeling. The most popular verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Loving is a feeling. God loved the world. God has a feeling for the world. God is not an uncaring God. God is not detached from us. And that is important, because that is the reason why we pray. When we are in trouble, when we are hurt, when we feel alone, when we feel that nobody understands us, who do we pray to? We do not pray to somebody who does not understand us, who does not feel our pain. We do pray to someone, a real being, spiritual, nonetheless real, who has come to experience the pain of a human being, suffering on the cross. And before that, suffering this deep betrayal. Those of us who have had the misfortune of being betrayed by a good friend, by somebody close to you, would understand the pain of that betrayal. Jesus felt the pain. And because Jesus is God incarnate and can feel the pain of humanity, there is a reason why we can pray to God. And we know that He understands. Sometimes the pain we bear are so deep that we don't think anybody can understand us. But we must remember, God understands us. God understands. God has been through this. The pain of God. Thank God that we have such a God. The God who walks alongside with us, like the great hymn that we sing, He walks with me and talks with me. Experienced the suffering of humanity. Carried the sin of the world, if you like, on His shoulders, nailed on the cross. He loves us, and we can call Him Father. So those of us who are struggling with unbearable pain and whatever shape or form, know this. God has been through it. And if you seek His help, He's there for you. He will walk the journey with you. This is the pain of God. And this is also the God of pain. Second, the power of God. Judas, according to Matthew 26, verse 15, had already sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas asked the high priest, "What are you going to give me if I deliver Jesus to you?" And so they counted out 30 pieces of silver, gave to him. And then this same Judas, who had already collected 30 pieces of silver, had already sold Jesus, betrayed him to the high priest, now came to the Last Supper. A pathetic figure pretending that nothing has happened. A pathetic figure who deceived all his friends. He just betrayed Jesus. And by the same token, betrayed his friends who trusted him, who counted him as a friend, to whom Jesus gave the responsibility of taking care of the treasury, if you like. Whatever little money they had, he was in charge, actually. Wow, this pathetic figure is a deceiver, a hypocrite, a betrayal. Brothers and sisters, sometimes some of us in church feel very discouraged because we feel betrayed by a fellow Christian. Sometimes we hear about church leaders having failed, committed some offense that is so terrible, moral as well as legal, and we get so disappointed. I think rightly so. We should all be disappointed. But at the same time, we should look at ourselves. By the grace of God, we would also have been the same. Because we are all sinners capable of being a traitor, capable of being a betrayer, capable of being a hypocrite. We all are capable. So what does that mean? Well, it means that according to Jesus, we need to remember what he said, that until the last days, the wheat will grow together with the tares. In other words, the good plants will grow with the weeds. But the day of reckoning will come when there will be a separation between the wheat and the tares. And so right now, there will be the sheep and the goat. They will all be together. But the day will come when the sheep will be distinguished from the goats. Right now, we do not know who is a real believer in the church. Some people may appear to be very spiritual and very walking with the Lord. We don't know. We don't judge. The end will show who the real wheats are and who the real sheep are. Right now, we trust God and we search our own heart. Are we real? Are we real? Are we sitting here in church today and actually betraying the Lord in all our action, in all our words, in our lifestyle, outside the church, in the home, anywhere else? God knows. God knows. Interestingly, when Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, Jesus could have stopped Judas from doing it by his own power. But Jesus did not. Because in the end, the decisions are made by us, by Judas, how we want to conduct ourselves, how we want to serve the Lord, how we want to be loyal and faithful to Him. The decision is entirely in our hands. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. In fact, from verse 26 to 27, Jesus alluded, verse 21, that this person is going to betray. By verse 26, Jesus identified him by the morsel of bread. And then in verse 27, he looked at Judas and gave him the last word. Judas, though he made up his mind to betray Jesus, did not have the last word, because the power is still in God, not in Judas. And Jesus gave him the last word. You want to do it? Go do it. And that was the last word that Judas heard, and Satan entered into him. Let us be very careful that we don't conduct ourselves in such a way that we will let Satan come into our life unknowingly. Let us hold on to the grace of God by exercising the spiritual disciplines that God has given to us. Read His Word regularly. Be instructed by His Word. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the joy of the Lord. Be prayerful. Be conscious of God's presence every day in all that we do, so that Satan will not have a chance to use us. God is in charge. We think we are, but we are not. God is the only one with the power to let things happen without stopping it. The question may be asked, why did he not stop Judas? He knew that he was doing it. Why? The answer is in the hymns that we've been singing. The cross. God's purpose for Jesus on earth was to end up on the cross. And Judas himself, for his own greed. And there's another theory about why Judas decided to do that. Judas belonged to the zealot group of people in the New Testament who wanted to see the coming of God in mighty power to overthrow the Romans. And Judas was too impatient. Jesus was seen to be too slow, doing all this wonderful Sermon on the Mount, talking about love and everything else. He should be calling up all the angels to destroy the Romans. So he was impatient. And he thought he could make some money as a result of betraying Jesus as well. Whatever the motivation, whatever the reason, Judas himself is personally responsible for what he did. But God uses him for that purpose too. So here is the mystery. God's sovereignty does not remove human responsibility. We are still responsible for what we do, but we do it under God's sovereignty. But God's sovereignty does override human failure, human wrongdoing, to accomplish what God chooses to accomplish, which is for the good of humanity. So the cross was for the salvation of the world. When bad things happen to us, we ask why. But if you're a Christian, we may or may not get an answer, but we can wait for an answer. And that is usually a good reason, because God is sovereign. Chua Kok Wan, who is now the Executive Director of Prison Fellowship Singapore, was a volunteer for more than 10 years in the Prison Fellowship. He started a church for ex-offenders, by profession a banker. One evening, he was driving to the church, a small church in a shop house where ex-offenders together, and he was a lay pastor. And then he hit somebody on a scooter rushing across. You know, one of those push scooter. I think you call it a scooter, you push with your leg. And he went right across on a pedestrian walk without stopping. He hit the guy. He flew into the air, fell on the bonnet of the car and onto the ground. Of course, ambulance came, police came, and he was hospitalized and died within a week. The police prosecuted him. So Kok Wong was prosecuted for reckless driving, liable to be jailed. So we all prayed for him. I was the chairman of Prison Fellowship. So he came to our house and we prayed for him. God spare him this jail sentence, because jail sentence is very traumatic. It doesn't matter whether it's one day or 100 days, it's traumatic, the moment you get in especially. But God didn't spare him. He went to jail. After, I think he was sentenced to three weeks, so he served 2 weeks with 1 week of remission. And then he texted me and said he survived prison. Because he was a volunteer, many officers knew him, and ex-offenders in the prison also knew him. But anyway, he survived it and he came out, and I simply posed a question to him. Why do you think God didn't stop you from going to prison? Is there a higher purpose? Subsequently, he came back and said he believed so. He joined Prison Fellowship. And today, he's the executive director for the last 6 years, and he's done a great job with Prison Fellowship. Why was he more effective than, say, if I were the Prison Fellowship executive director, or any of you? I dare say none of you have gone to prison. Because if you have not gone to prison, our empathy level is only so much, because we've never experienced it. But because you've gone to prison, he has gone to prison, the ex-offenders look to him with a different set of lenses. Now he can understand them, what it means to go to jail. And it became that much more effective. God's purpose, you can see it in his life. And so it goes. You can think of many other people in that situation. Finally, that leads us to the purpose of God. The other disciples ask, because they were all shocked, why is this happening? Why? Who is this guy? Well, God's purpose is very often unfathomable. It's too deep. Isaiah says his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. When we were praying and he went to jail, we were all wondering, God, this guy, it's an accident. I mean, you know, and that guy was rushing across. I mean, where is justice? Now we understand. Romans 8:28, we know that all things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We need to hang on to Romans 8:28, yes. Remember Joseph, when he was betrayed by his brothers, ended up in Egypt when there was a famine in Palestine, and his family came to Egypt, his brothers, to collect grain to bring back to feed the families who were suffering from famine. Joseph, by then, was the right-hand man of Pharaoh, right? The treasurer of, maybe the minister of finance, if you like. And he looked at the brothers and said, Genesis 50, verse 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Wow. You intended for evil, but God intended for good, to save many lives through me, through your betrayal of me. This is what is meant by sovereignty of God. Only when God has the power can God achieve his purpose. And many times when God does something like that, we don't understand. I'm sure Joseph must be complaining, Lord, I am just an innocent young man, you know, very proud of the coat of many colors. Why am I now a slave? Because my brothers got jealous and sold me into slavery. Why do you give me such kind of brothers? And so on and so forth. Potiphar's wife betrayed him when she was the one trying to seduce him, not the other way around. Where is justice? The guy in prison, he promised to do something for me, forgotten, even though I did him a favor. Where is justice? How often do we ask that? It's okay. Remember that justice ultimately is in the hands of God. It may not be seen on earth, but it is there because God is just. The gospel is premised on human failure. We are sinful and therefore bound to fail. Believers who fail does not mean that God has failed. God is like a great kung fu master working through the force of an evil person in order to cause that evil person to fall and to accomplish the purpose of winning the match or whatever the case may be. So God feels the pain of human sin and failure, but loves us nonetheless. Amen to that? God is in charge even when humans fail. And so we can have peace in the midst of troubles. Even when the world is coming apart, coming unglued, in all the wars and all the leadership that is so terrible in the world, we are so helpless. But if we believe that God is sovereign, we should have peace. And God's purpose is being fulfilled in all the human failures we see today. Thanks be to God. May God encourage us. Some of us, I'm sure, are going through challenges, even illness, even failures in different things. All people fail us. It's okay. God is powerful. God has a purpose. And God knows our pain. Thanks be to God. Lord, thank you for encouraging us today. We are so happy that in this broken world, we have an unfailing God. We are thankful that in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, we can have peace. We are thankful, Lord, that when things become impossible for us to handle, we know, Lord, that you love us and you will accomplish your purpose even in these difficult times. So to God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.